Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, January 29th. Jen, it's almost the end of January.
I know.
What are we going to do about that?
It's actually been a long month, it feels like.
It has, right?
Yeah, totally. There's memes all over social media like, it's still January?
Yeah, right?
It sure is.
I know, because we're waiting for 2020, and then you expect it to go by fast. Probably will go fast from this point on.
Totally.
Yeah. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good.
Yeah?
I'm good, yeah.
Good.
Yeah,
I'm
it's
glad
been a busy
hear.
Morning. So
yeah.
Totally.
No gothic lipstick this morning.
No gothic lipstick today.
It looked a little strange on you because it was the first time I saw you with that.
But it's one of my old regulars.
Were your black too?
No.
Yesterday? No, right?
No.
It was just the lipstick.
Yeah,
okay.
For sure. How are you feeling today?
I'm good. I get some sleep, yeah.
All right.
I got a lot of condolences on social media and stuff for my mom's passing. And it's been a little frustrating because, you know, in Judaism, you bury the body right away, like even on the same day sometimes.
Sure.
And so you try to do it as soon as possible, and they wouldn't let us do it till tomorrow. It's like 3 days later at the cemetery. They're so busy. They have such demand.
It's all that coronavirus.
Yeah, whatever it is, you know. And then the cost, my God, man, that can kill you just to bury a person, you know?
I know.
It costs a lot of money.
It sure does. It's like it's an investment.
Right. It is
a shitty investment, but an investment.
I know. At least we got a plot right next to my dad, so they can be together. Had you already had that? Yeah,
okay,
yeah. When we got him, we got both.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know. You have to think of the future, though.
I know.
Now I'm going, why didn't we get him like some life insurance or something? You know. But
oh,
you don't
boy.
Think about these things, you know, until after.
Some people do.
Yeah.
Some people definitely do.
I know.
Yeah.
But so this is like a period of a couple of days where we don't know what to do. We can't really start mourning or anything.
Yeah.
You know.
So. Totally. So she.
But my brother is arriving today from Asia, and then tomorrow we're going to. So yeah, they probably keep him in a morgue or something or wherever.
Yeah, the funeral home.
Yeah.
We. When we were filming that film I did last month, we shot one scene at a church.
Mm-hmm.
And so the church had this one room where they had obviously prepared bodies.
Uh-huh.
And it looked like it didn't look quite up to date.
Yeah.
I'll put it that way.
Uh-huh.
And there was this weird thing that I can only imagine them just like making puppet shows or something with it. It was
lifted parts of the body, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. Wow. It was a really big, weird contraption that I was like,
Really? Who knows what they do to them when they're there?
Yeah, I know. Oh, I've always wondered.
Yeah.
So, and I don't ever rule anything out. So,
yeah,
people are weird out there.
I know they really are. thank you for joining us, everybody. We are on Facebook Live again today.
We
have more Oscar-nominated. Guests here, and thanks to Catherine, of course, who everything she touches turns into Oscar, and so you guys are in good company. We'll get to them in just a moment.
And yesterday was French, today's French Canadian,
right? Yeah, so we made sure beforehand so we don't make mistakes here because we don't want to embarrass ourselves. Yeah, right?
I don't mind embarrassing myself.
Are you ready for the Super Bowl at all?
When is that, Sunday?
This Sunday, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
Obviously, you're not ready for it.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah, I don't really care much either, but.
Super Bowl is usually the game I like to watch. I don't have a TV, though. I haven't had a TV in 7 years.
Really?
Yeah, I don't own a TV.
Wow.
I just haven't. It's just one more expense to buy the TV and then pay, like, what, $100 a month for cable? And then they give you a deal. They're like, it's going to be $99 instead of $100. And then suddenly they, like, up it. And then you're like, great.
No, but now what you're going to do is get streaming stuff as soon as you get... because nobody uses cable anymore. So you get, like, Hulu or something or Netflix.
The last thing I need is another reason to sit on the couch.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
It's the last
thing. Well, if you don't want TV, then don't get one. What can I say?
Okay.
And of course, the coronavirus keeps on going, and I don't know what's going to happen with that. You know, a lot of fear. People landing here with it in the country. So
yeah,
we don't know what's going to happen. You know, my, scary.
My family's planning our we're planning our escape already.
Really?
Yeah.
Like underground or something.
Something like that. It's our secret.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Getting I've heard our backpacks ready to leave.
Yeah, right. But it's funny because every time there's a virus, people think, oh, we're going to decimate our population.
Yeah.
But let's hope that doesn't happen. You know?
It'll happen one of these times. Yeah, I don't know
at
that
least
it's
not
this
here.
Time.
Let it happen somewhere else.
Yeah, right.
But not here. You know, we like it here.
We do like it here.
Yeah. All right. Oh, well, man. We're going to bring on our guest right now. Let's do that because before we... make everybody crazy.
Yeah.
We're joined by two filmmakers, French-Canadian, I guess, right? And are you or?
Well, I'm a bit of a mix.
Oh, a mix of what?
So my parents are Tunisian. I grew up in the U.S. and I've been living in Quebec for 11 years.
Oh, wow. So you grew up in Tunisia, though?
I lived in Tunisia when I was from 4 till 6 years old.
Oh, I see. Do you remember much?
Of course. My first memories are from there. And we always used to go in the summers. And I've been working there a lot the past couple of years. So the connection is still very, very strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. And you're hearing Miriam Jobert, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you see, I'm getting it right. And next to you is Maria Gracia Turgeon.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So you guys are so young, you know. I mean, it's like amazing. I always get inspired by young people who get into, who do big things early on in their lives, you know. And you guys are like on the short film list, right?
Yeah,
the final five?
The live action short category.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. You have what, five movies altogether?
Yeah, there's five
So
films.
Four competitors.
Yeah.
And have you seen the other movies?
I haven't seen them yet, but I will be seeing them next week. I was actually waiting because I knew I was going to be able to see them in a theater here. I didn't really want to watch them on my laptop.
Right.
Sure.
So I thought I might as well wait for the right opportunity to watch them.
Yeah.
There's
what about
like
you, Maria?
Screen,
didn't get a chance?
Yeah, I couldn't help myself, and I went seeing them all to see them.
Yeah, you got to see who you're competing with, you know?
Well, that's why she's the producer, and I'm the director.
You let her do all the dirty work, right?
I let her do all the strategy, everything, and I just chill and flow with life.
Cool.
Fair enough.
So you guys work together, right? Do you have a production company or anything?
Well, we both have a production company now.
Right. Together or separate?
Separate. Mine is in Tunisia.
Uh-huh.
And mine is in Quebec, but we're working together.
Yeah.
I see. Wow. And how did you guys meet each other?
We met at a film festival, actually, in
really?
2015.
Oh, where was that?
This was in the north of Quebec. Very cold place. It was in the middle of winter.
Yeah.
And we were there with some friends. And
We drove together 5 hours to get there, getting out early morning from Montreal and spent four days together.
Wow. So you both were already in the movies before that? You're already in the industry?
Yeah, we were starting off. I mean, I graduated from film school in 2013. Uh-huh. You graduated
2013,
too.
Oh, wow. In separate schools, though?
Yeah. I went to the English University in Montreal. She went to the French. So it's a Romeo and Juliet, you see.
Well, you compliment each other. That's good, you know. That's how it is in life. You don't want to have too many similarities.
Yes.
Then you start having problems, you know?
Oh, yeah. Very true. Very true.
When did you realize at one point in your lives, did you realize you wanted to get into film?
For me, I mean, like, coming from the countryside, I think I always loved film, but it took me a while to, like, let myself thinking I could work in film. I think it's such an industry that you think it's for others.
Yeah.
That before being able to say, no, I think I have my place and I can fit in that, it for me, it took me a while.
Yeah.
Right. So you grew up in a small place
in
the country?
Countryside.
Wow.
So.
How cool. In Quebec, right? Yeah. That's where you grew up.
Yeah, exactly.
And do you have any siblings, brothers, sisters?
I have a sister.
Uh-huh.
And all my family, nobody's in the film industry. Nobody near, like, just the extended
you.
Family.
Did they support you when you wanted to get into it?
Yeah. They supported me all the way, and they're still, I'm still having my mom, my dad, my sister come and help on set whenever they can.
Wow. So. And I'm sure now they're going to be real friends of yours when you win the Oscar.
Yeah, well, her father is the cutest guy, like... I've heard so many messages of him crying every time
really?
Maria gets a prize or nominated. He'll just like start crying in Spanish and be like, I love you.
So your parents have always been very supportive.
Yeah.
How about for you?
Yeah, me as well. I mean, I think, as I mentioned, my parents are both Tunisian. I'm a first generation American. And my parents were obviously a bit nervous in the beginning. I think any parent is when you tell them you're going into the arts.
Right.
There's kind of the fear, is your child going to be able to survive?
Yeah, the stability thing.
So they were nervous, but thankfully, like, they were both extremely supportive and they just let me follow my dream. And, you know, with time they realized, and I brought them to set as well so that they realize, you know, this is real.
Right, you're actually doing something.
It's not an abstract thing. My parents would be like, so what are you working on? And I couldn't explain it. So finally I brought them to set and they saw the team working and they saw the process. And, you know, since then they've been very, very supportive. So.
Very nice.
Yeah,
and do you
really
have siblings too?
Yeah, I have two younger sisters.
And they support you and stuff?
Yeah, my sisters are really, really supportive. They're more in the sciences, but, you know, I think my family, I think I've been lucky because I don't think we fall into the stereotype of only, like, you know, doctors and, you know, lawyers, engineers.
A diverse family.
You know, it's they're very into the arts. My grandfather, Bashir, was always, like, an inspiration to me. Like, he always wanted to be a writer and all those things. Oh. So there was always this vision of an artist in our family that also inspired me.
Wow, very cool. Now, she's from Tunisia, and yesterday we dealt with a movie that was made in Tunisia, right?
Yeah.
And that was Nefta Football Club. Yeah. And so it's sort of ironic, you know, that this is all happening.
Yeah,
what is it with
crazy.
Tunisia this year at the Oscars?
Right? I mean, it's so exciting because, you know, our film, you know,
your film was made there too?
Our film was shot there, and our film was a co-production.
Okay.
So whereas Nefta is more like a French production shot in Tunisia,
right?
Ours was a Canadian-Tunisian film. And it's the first time a Tunisian film is nominated at the Oscars.
Really?
So it's, and then the fact that Nefta is there as well and it was shot in Tunisia, it's really exciting.
Yeah, I know.
It is exciting.
Wow, so it's a big deal that you're representing Tunisia.
Yeah,
that,
it's incredible.
I
feel so... Like,
did you
so
get a lot of help from there, from the government or whatever, the arts organizations there? Who did you have to go to get some help?
Well, in terms of financing, the help was from Canada, and we got funds from Qatari, the Doha Film Institute. We've got from Malmo in Sweden. And in Tunisia, it was really like we had Sarah Ben Hassan that was working at Cinetel Film at the time. That was an amazing producer, and she made all that happen on set there. And I mean, like, all the resources there in Tunisia were great. I think, like, all the people on set there helping.
Yeah,
were
it was
amazing.
A mix. Yeah. It was like a very good mix of Canadian filmmakers and Tunisian filmmakers. So it was definitely a collaboration, like an equal collaboration between the two.
Yeah. Now, your film is called Brotherhood. And did you write the story?
Yeah.
The script?
Yeah, I wrote
for
the
it?
Script.
Wow. How did it come to you? I mean, did you sit down and did you have the idea before or did you just sit down?
Yeah. Well, the backstory to the film is pretty interesting and it usually never happens like this. But what happened was, in 2016, I took a road trip in the north of Tunisia with the cinematographer of Brotherhood just to discover my roots a bit more. I'd never been to the north. And on one of the days, on the side of the road, I saw the two older brothers walking with a herd of sheep. And I made eye contact with the oldest one, Malik, just in the car as we're passing. And I told Vincent, stop the car. We need to take a photo of these boys because their faces were just so intriguing. They have red hair and like crazy amount of freckles, which I had never seen in Tunisia before.
Yeah.
So I wanted to take their photograph. I asked to take their photograph. They said no.
Really?
So I said no. So I got back into the car, but both Vincent and I had this feeling like we're like, there's something really special and mysterious about these boys. And we drove away. And as we were doing the trip, we learned that a lot of men from that region had gone to Syria to fight with ISIS. So over the next year and a half, I kind of came up with the idea of brotherhood, which is the story of, you know, a young man, the oldest son in a family returning home from Syria and how it affects his relationship with his father. And I wrote the script in like one day, which was crazy. That never happens.
Wow.
And a year and a half later, I told Vincent, hey, what do you think if we go looking for these boys?
Yeah.
And just a detail that's kind of interesting for the story is, in the script, I had written three brothers. So two older brothers and a little six-year-old brother. I thought I would have to cast the younger brother.
Right.
So we drive. We don't know where we found them. We don't know
their
names.
I mean, where do you even start?
We kind of looked at a map. We had traveled so much. We're like, we think it's near this city.
Right.
So we drive to this city and we just start asking random strangers, do you know two redheaded brothers were sheep? And it goes on all day long.
Oh my God. What a venture.
You know, it was just ridiculous. One time there was a guy walking with his donkey and we were trying to ask him, but the donkey ran away and he's like, sorry, you know. So it was just like full of adventures. And then the moment we were giving up, we kind of took a back road and Vincent recognized a pile of rocks from a year and a half ago. And we managed to find a shepherd who pointed out their house.
Wow.
So on my way to the house, that was the first moment I was like, shit, they said no to a photo. How am I going to convince them to be in a film?
Yeah.
We arrive at the doorstep and the first person to come out was their six-year-old brother, Rayan, who has a redhead and freckles as
who
well.
You had already written in didn't know about.
I didn't know he existed.
So oh my gosh.
It was just really bizarre.
I got goosebumps.
It was just crazy. Like all our mouths just like dropped.
Yeah.
And the boys came out, Malik and Shaker, the older ones. They were dumbfounded. They're like, what are you? Yeah. Who are you? They didn't recognize me, but... And I had a shaved head at the time, so I looked pretty bizarre. You know, it's a small village in Tunisia.
Yeah.
And I told them, listen, I'm a filmmaker. We met 2 minutes a year and a half ago. I wrote this script for you. I know this sounds crazy, but would you consider acting in the film? And they were hesitant at first, and I told them, I'll be back in 6 months, so think about it. And in those 6 months, I talked to Maria about the project. We got together a small budget. And I came back, and, and they agreed to act in the film. So.
What did it feel like for you hearing a story like this? Had you already known that she had met them previously?
Yeah, like the encounter, like Miriam talked to me about the encounter when it happens and stuff. But I didn't knew she had like this idea of the script till she kind of came to me with the script, being like, "Oh, here, like, what do you think?" And when she told me the story, like. Weirdly, like, to me, it was just like, okay, this is kind of gonna happen. Like, everything fall into place so, like, naturally that right. I had kind of the confidence mm-hmm. that it would happen and that we will make this movie. Yeah.
So did you go with her when she met the youngest?
No, I hadn't been there yet. No.
Wow.
That was actually, it was Vincent and my boyfriend who's in the room with us.
Oh, I see.
My
boyfriend
did not think it was possible.
Uh-huh.
So he was like the Debbie Downer in the backseat being like, you guys are crazy. This is insane. I don't know why I'm here. And then when Ryan came out, I saw his face. It was like, oh my God, they're real.
It's the crazy ideas I feel like that always work. You know, like as soon as people tell you you're crazy or this isn't a good idea, I feel like those are always the ideas that pay off the most.
Well, that's exactly. I always tell like the biggest lesson of this film was learning to listen to your instinct.
Right.
You know, that gut feeling you have in the moment is so powerful if you choose to listen to it. And just having faith, you know, even when things seem impossible or a needle in a haystack, just having faith to follow your gut and attempt at least to see where it takes you.
Right. And what's with the shaved head? What happened then?
This is related to the other the film we did before it. The day of the shooting, I shaved my head. I was like, you know what?
Well, did you make a bet or something with somebody?
I always wanted to shave my head, but it felt like, you know, it was my first big project. You know, we had a large team. I had been fighting 3 years to get that project made. Mm. And I was like, you know, sometimes making films feels like going to war. I'm going to shave my head and I'm going to try to channel a lot of power in this moment.
That's incredible. Oh, my gosh.
What an idea.
I don't even want to know what I look like with a shaved head.
It was scary. I'll tell you that. The first moment I saw myself, I was like, whoa.
Like, what did I do?
And the worst part is the machine broke halfway.
Really?
So my friend,
that would happen.
My friend and the lead actress had to cut with scissors. So it looked really botched. It looked like,
oh, my gosh. Like you had some kind of
like
episode
sheep,
or
you
something
know, like
before.
A sheep
yeah.
Who got, you know.
Yeah, I'd love to see pictures of that.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, she looked amazing with shaved head and really powerful. Like she had like this confidence coming through set and we're like, whoa.
I love that.
Were you a boyfriend by then? You know, right? So he's like, oh, wow, now I'm with a mannequin or something, right?
Was it a surprise to you?
Wow. Very.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, no. I told him, I was like, everyone, I shaved my head. He ran home just to see, to make sure it looked,
It looked okay.
There was still attraction and then ran away.
Oh my gosh, it looks beautiful though.
Oh, I see. So it wasn't really shaved all the way. It was just cropped really short.
No, that's when
that's
it grew
after
out.
It grew out already?
A bit. But
it looks fantastic on you though.
Yeah, it was fun. It was really empowering actually.
I know, I've always...
Maybe I'll shave my head too.
Tomorrow, you both of you arrive.
We'll be empowered.
I'll have to get new headshots. It's too much work.
Whatever it takes to be empowered these days. You know? Yeah. Well,
oh my gosh.
So, but Maria, you never shaved your head or anything. No.
No, if I shave my head, it will take me 20 years to grow them.
The curly hair. It's the curse of the curly hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? So what? Curly hair takes longer to grow?
Oh my God. It's
really? Because it grows the same amount, but because it's curled, it only like looks this long.
Right.
When
so
someone else
shorter.
With straight hair would look that long.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm. And so when did you do the shooting of the movie? When did that happen?
We shot in March 2008.
Is that how long? And then it took you a long time to put it together? Or
no, actually, one was really, really quick.
Uh-huh.
Like the shot was in March and the edit was in June.
Yeah.
And we finished the film actually extra quick to get it into TIFF. So the premiere was in September. So I think it's the film I've done, and I think Meritu in the more
the shortest
amount of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and the crazy thing is I found the boys in August 27th, 2017, and I finished the film August 27th, 2018. So it was like exactly
1 year.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
Were they, now, the movie is in Arabic, right?
Yes.
So do you speak Arabic?
Yeah.
So it was easy for you to direct them.
Well,
I mean,
yeah.
Maybe because they're not professionals.
No,
it was harder, right?
No, it was good. I mean, the thing that I've been telling people is you kind of, you know, especially with non-actors, you kind of can tell if they have it or they don't.
Really?
You know, whether they're gifted or not. And the three brothers were gifted, you know, from the first moment I put the camera in front of them, once they agreed to act in the film, I could tell they could do it.
Yeah.
So it was interesting, and each of them had a different style of acting. So it's something innate in you, you know?
Yeah.
At the time, my Arabic has improved a lot. At the time, I was a mix between like an old woman from my village and a toddler. So my directions were very basic. Like look down, look up, slow.
Did you have a translator too? Did you need somebody?
Yeah, my assistant director, Balsam, she's a Tunisian assistant director. She helped me a lot with the boys and preparing them and also communicating. But in the end, I didn't have to mold their performances that much.
Right.
They kind of had it.
I see.
Innately, yeah.
So you directed it. Now you produced it. What are some of the things you had to do? Did you have to raise the money for this, or How did it work?
Yeah, well, financing was your part of it. Role, like, as a producer, you're kind of there from beginning to the end.
Right.
It's really, like, putting stuff together, like, being there creatively with Miriam. Like, of course, we had a producer in Tunisia, so all the aspect of making the shoot happen for the Tunisian part, like, we were so lucky to have Sarah on board.
Yeah.
And she did an amazing job. I mean, I sent crew over from Canada to there, and then post-production was in Canada, so I took more that part on, and right. all what is, like, festival strategy and now Oscar strategy. So, I mean, it's really being there from the beginning to the end, and both having kind of a side that is more like putting stuff together and having a creative side and be there creatively.
Right.
Also.
So you contributed creatively too.
Of course.
To the movie.
I mean, I think we're a creative team, and, like, obviously Miriam wrote it and directed, but we're always talking and.
Right. Yeah. So it's not just business as far as a producer.
No.
Yeah.
No, it's Maria's second nomination in 2 years. Mm.
Yeah,
so I hear, really? Which is pretty amazing.
Yeah. That's so good. I was here last year with Evren, that's in the room, the uh-huh. boyfriend of Miriam, for another film that was called Fauve. So,
what uh-huh. was that film about?
This other film was about two young children playing in kind of the countryside and eventually leading to tragic moment where, like, it was kind of talking about what is the responsibility of those children and how, like, the innocence of a children don't, like, completely, like, embrace what can happen or cannot happen. So
right.
it was juggling on that those themes.
Yeah.
Can that be film? Can that film be seen anywhere online?
Yeah, it can be seen on Vimeo. Okay. As Brotherhood, too, we can see it on Vimeo. If
oh,
you
great.
Put Brotherhood, Miriam Joubert, you're okay. going to find it and be able to watch it.
Okay.
That's amazing. I have another question about so when you wrote the script about the brothers, how close was it to, or was it, how in what ways was it similar to their actual lives?
Well, when I, you know, like when I spoke to the brothers right before to explain the story to them, I did ask them, I mean, did they have any personal connection to people who had gone to Syria, all of that? They didn't. But since, you know, this was something that was talked about a lot in Tunisian society, this issue, we all are aware of it, you know, we've all heard stories of it. And the thing is, the film doesn't really focus on that issue. The film is very grounded in the family dynamics. It's a lot about communication and the struggle to communicate between parent and child. So the way that I feel, or the thing that I'm very proud of, is I feel like you could take this scenario of the family and replace Malik having, you know, gotten into drugs, or Malik joining a Christian cult in the U.S., and what happens in the family is exactly the same. Mm-hmm. So there's a universal aspect to it that I really wanted to show. That wasn't just political or very stereotypical. I really wanted to show, like, a Tunisian family as honestly as I know.
Right.
And, you know, the issues in a Tunisian family are no different than an American family. You know, a father will judge his son, or a son will want to live up to his father's expectations but can't. Right. A mother will try to protect her child at all costs, and maybe sometimes is too forgiving of their mistakes. So all of these themes are definitely what I wanted to ingrain in the film. Mm. So in terms of their reality, of how close it was very close, because, you know, I could tell Malik had a very close, you know, relationship with his father, and,
sure.
you know, I kind of utilized their own personalities and stuff. And the funny thing in terms of how I wrote in the script, it really fit in their personalities as well.
Right. Now, how old was the brother that went to fight?
So
in the movie?
In the film, I think it's not explicitly said, but Malik was 18 or 19 when we shot the film.
Okay.
So young.
So he's 18, and then he had a 6-year-old brother too.
Yeah.
And the middle one was about how long?
15.
15.
Yeah. So wow. you get a sense of that, the brother. I mean, that's why I titled the film Brotherhood, because I really wanted you know, there's something really beautiful naturally about their relationship that I think you feel in the film. And it's this idea of the importance of fraternity, how it can be positive but also very toxic.
Right.
Because that is how ISIS was able to manipulate so many. Why have so many foreign fighters joined ISIS from around the world, from the US, from Europe? It's because they, you know, projected this idea of kind of a toxic brotherhood. Like, you can get power, you can, you know, we will get you as many women as you want. You will be almost this kind of a action hero.
Right.
And that is a toxic form of brotherhood.
Right.
That they manipulate.
For young people.
Exactly.
Especially.
Young people that feel disenfranchised or lost. That's why sometimes I say, like, almost getting into drugs is no different. You know, if you don't have a sense of self-esteem, or if you feel insecure, you're easily manipulated.
Right. And they probably wanted to belong to a group or something, you know. And, and this is like, oh, I get to carry a gun and kill people and all this stuff.
It's like, I think it's really the idea of fraternity. I think a lot of the images were like this almost like, you know, group of men that are powerful, young men that are powerful and, you know.
Right.
I think that's, you know, that's why they were unfortunately so successful. So in the film, you get a sense of that a little bit, you know, the toxic consequences of brotherhood,
right.
But also the very beautiful, nurturing
right.
aspect of brotherhood, of seeing fraternal love as
right.
well.
Right. And what's fascinating is it sounds like a story that's not really close to you. I mean, your life is not like that, right? Do you know anybody that went to fight
No, I don't know anybody that went to fight, but as I mentioned, like, I mean, definitely issues of communication in my family are widespread, you know, like, I definitely identify with that, and it's been a mission to grow in that direction and learn how to communicate, and it's still a growing process, so it's very, in terms of this theme, especially at that point in my life, you couldn't have hit the nail on, you know, any closer to me. I was struggling to communicate in my life, and that's why I made that film.
Yeah,
it's such a weird thing when you struggle
for that. How did it relate to you? Did it touch you right away when you read the story?
Yeah, I remember reading the script and right away wanting to be part of it. I mean, like, yes, the social political issues that are treated in the film are really like something out there that is touching me. I mean, we're hearing a lot about it and stuff, but all also has Miriam saying, like, this being grounded in a family issue, family dynamic, and how it's treated and all this sensitivity that Miriam's bringing to the script and how she's treating it, how she was seeing it. I mean, like, we've talked about it, and yeah, I think everything of it really attracted me, and knowing that Miriam was going to direct it, knowing her skills and her ability to have like such a deep subject treated with such sensitivity really attracted me too.
And how did you know that? I mean, did you see some of the stuff she had done before?
Yeah, well, I mean, the first thing I saw of Miriam was her documentary called God, Weeds, and Revolution that's also available on Vimeo if you want to see it. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. And I remember at that point, I didn't knew her as a person. I had heard about her but never really met her. And I remember seeing the film and being like struck by it, being like, wow, she's an amazing director. She's really infusing the subject of the documentary with such a poetic aspect to it. And then we worked together on another short film where I help as a line producer. And I think this signature of Miriam is also in that film. It's called Born in the Maelstrom, which is also available online. If you want to go and see it, I mean, like, I think everyone should see Miriam's work. So
sounds good. I mean, obviously, already.
I mean, it was interesting because when I wrote the script, and this is funny, I think Maria found it funny, is like, I wasn't sure people would resonate with it. Like, it was almost like I didn't think people would, I don't know. But when Maria read the script and she's like, I want to be part of this, it was like that moment I was like, oh, I guess this story can speak to others, you know, as well, which was really important.
Yeah.
I mean, that's always the hope in art, is like, we have our ideas, we have what we want to, the stories we want to tell, but we don't know. You just got to put it out there and see if it lands, you know, see where it lands.
Exactly. And what made you trust Maria to be able to help with the project and produce it?
Well, I think, you know, it's creative collaboration. Again, it's almost like this instinct thing, and you either bond or you don't. And, you know, I worked with Maria before Brotherhood, and I just knew we had a creative collaborate, a connection. That's right. It was very clear, you know, in terms of the feedback she gave. I trust it, you know, and I know that she's my pair of eyes when I'm too in it. So, you know, I knew she was right. I mean, it's there. It's there or it's not type
right.
of thing.
Yeah. So I wanted to remind people that short films are usually selected from a long list of about 100 and some movies, right?
Yeah.
And then there's a short list of 10, and you guys made it to the final five. Oh. So that's a big deal. That's a big deal,
yeah.
right?
It's really
and you wrote a story, being a woman, you wrote a story about men mainly.
Yeah, that's an interesting aspect. Right? Is like, that's something I think about more now, is like, I'm really happy that, you know, people can see me as a female filmmaker making film about men.
Right.
And because sometimes I feel like as a female filmmaker, an artist or whatever, sometimes you're kind of put into a little box of mm-hmm. what you can potentially do, right? Or what stories you could tell.
Right.
And it's also, you know, I find that that's the frustrating part. But I want to, you know, I think it's important to show is that our perspective is on a wide range of subjects
right.
as a woman. It's not limiting, you know, like... One of my favorite interviews I ever watched was Toni Morrison. She's a big inspiration for me. And an interviewer asked her, you know, like, how come she always writes about black characters or black female characters? And she was like, well, for me, this is not a limit. Like, the reality of black characters, black female characters, is a wide ocean of stories. And you're presenting the question as if it's a limitation. And right. that's the way I feel as well. My perspective as a woman, as a Tunisian woman or American, as all these things, is limitless, you know.
Right.
And I'm happy, you know, that maybe this film can show that as well.
Yeah.
I love that.
Did you collaborate on things before this movie, or is this the first one?
Yeah, we collaborated.
Yeah.
It's the second film we worked together, and we're actually developing feature films together as well.
Oh, nice.
So
nice.
It's definitely...
A strong collaboration.
A strong connection.
Yeah. So you're working on a feature next?
Yeah, we're working on a few feature films. We're actually working on adapting Brotherhood into a feature film.
Yeah.
A very loosely inspired adaptation of it. And it's exciting because I developed a very close relationship with the boys and the two actors who played the parents.
Right.
And I feel like it's rare to have a chance. I mean, obviously, you know, Scorsese and stuff have been working with the same actors for years. But it's my first experience with developing a relationship with actors over multiple projects. And I have to say, it's very enriching. It's
really?
Very, very enriching to see us grow together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I saw the trailer for the movie. It seems pretty interesting. You know, I mean... lots of goats there. Do you like to watch goats?
I do like to watch goats.
Well, the trailer is it's more on the abstract, but I think, yeah.
But you can tell something about it, yeah. The father and everything. Sounds fascinating. So now, so the little boy, there's a picture here. He's redheaded and freckled and everything. So you're saying that doesn't happen a lot in Tunisia, right?
Well, red hair happens.
Right.
Like I have in my family redheads.
Oh, wow.
But the freckles that the brothers had and the fact that all three of them are the same is extremely rare, genetically speaking.
Yeah, yeah.
Like my boyfriend's sister works in genetics and she's like, yeah, this is very, very rare.
Really?
So to have all three, and also they have a sister who's a redhead and freckled. So to have all kids like
and
that.
And I'm sure you met
rare.
The parents, right?
Yeah.
So what are the parents like? Were they like that too?
The father is redhead and freckled, but the mother isn't, which makes it very rare as well.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
That's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
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 Very cute kid here, I must say, you know?
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
So now they're probably like, oh, we're actors, you know, looking for more stuff to do.
Well, I mean, I think what's cool is since we're planning on working on the feature, we're actually getting the chance to, like, you know, in terms of their acting skills to grow, right? Because the short happens so quickly, but now we're really working on, like, developing their acting skills.
Right.
So hopefully for the next film, they'll be able to take any gig they want if they can.
That's true, right? Yeah. They're in demand now. Especially if they win some Oscars.
I know, right? That'd be so incredible. Their first gig ever, they win an Oscar.
Yeah. Here's a shepherd, you know, suddenly like winning a, you know, wow. Yeah. It's pretty big stuff. Are they coming to the Oscars?
No, unfortunately, they can't make it.
Yeah.
Because it's too complicated and they don't have passports. And right, it's just like, right.
That's okay. You'll take the Oscar to them.
Yeah. You know, no, and I think it's too wild too. Like, I don't, you know, it's crazy. And even for us who have been working in the industry for a couple of years, it's, you know, you need to learn how to manage everything.
Right, right.
I don't want to put them in that situation.
Right, because they're not from the big city or anything. They don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they're starting to, like, understand how things work. And I think if you bring somebody that doesn't have much experience and dump them in the most charged atmosphere, it can be really destabilizing and unhealthy. Like, we're definitely working on being grounded and enjoying and taking in the moment, but it takes.
Can you handle the success, Maria?
Wow. I mean, it's really being a fun journey, but yeah, it's just trying to keep it like as grounded as possible and not like going in so many directions. Right. It's just like, I think we're having goals like in the near future and we're just trying to focus on going further on that and just enjoying the ride right now.
Yeah, good for you. You know, I mean,
there's also a lot. Like my aunt asked when she found out about the nominee, she's like, now you're rich. I'm like, not really. I'm probably going to have to work at a restaurant after I go back to Montreal.
Yeah, totally.
To survive.
Well, at least not yet, but
definitely.
You can always sell the statuette, you know?
No, apparently you can't. Apparently you can't. They make us sign a contract for that. Yeah.
So, no.
Oh my God.
So you guys went to the luncheon, I assume, too, right? Did you meet some neat people?
Yeah.
Stars and stuff?
I mean, the funny thing is, and I completely understand, they come in the end and they leave the first, you know, like they're there for like 5 minutes, take the photo and leave. Yeah. So there's not really an opportunity to meet anyone super, you know, like a very well
super
known.
Famous.
Yeah, stuff, but, you know, in the end also it's like, it's so like, I'm so bad at like being like, can I have a photo? Like, it's not my style. Like,
same.
I would love to have a deeper conversation.
Right.
Sure. But to like, be like, hey, take a photo with me. It's just, I'm the worst.
Yeah.
So I was in the corner more like
watching.
Besides,
you're like in an industry gathering, you know, you don't want to seem like a desperate fan or something. Well,
I photobombed one photo, but it's just like, I mean, it's just like, and it was funny because I was like, why do I want this? You know, like,
but you're still excited about it, which is funny because it's
fun. It was really fun. Like, we had such a good time, you know, like, and just being there and excited. Yeah.
And it was just fun to see that, like, I mean, we were sitting at table with people we didn't knew, and like, everyone's like, happy to talk to you, to get to know what's your film, and in exchange to know why they're here, what's their nomination. So I feel it was also, except from like, okay, like Leonardo DiCaprio and those people that, like, I maybe I'm not gonna sit next to him and start to chat, but I mean, like, the people in general, they're super open to like just kind of get to know like why you're there and being excited with you on like just being there and having a nomination.
Right.
That's got to be a really cool vibe in the room, you know.
Yeah, it was very, very cool. Like, it was very celebratory, very supportive, which was really nice.
Yeah. Now I love to ask, where were you when you found out you were being nominated?
We were in Montreal.
Yeah.
And we had like a Tunisian flag and a Quebec flag hanging behind us. We got like a group of the team and some of, I have some family in Montreal. So anywhere. Anytime there's an occasion, I have a Tunisian
posse. You're all together then waiting for the announcement.
Yeah, we watch the live stream.
Yeah, we had a bottle of champagne waiting and we're like, well, if it doesn't pass, at least we'll drink.
We'll drink. Yeah, if it does pass, we'll drink. So it's like, it was perfect. So it was so fun.
We'll get drunk and commiserate.
Yeah, yeah, it sounds good to me.
Yeah, exactly. That was so fun. We had like two dogs, you know, like it was just like a fun setup, you know. It was really nice.
Oh my god, did everyone kind of like explode with excitement?
I mean, I love it because the dog that I love, Lucy, who was there, like the moment they announced and we're all excited, she jumped in my lap and like made a cameo right in the so I was like, yes.
Very nice. That. Yeah. Now so Maria, you are so you got your own company, right?
Yeah.
Do you do anything else without Miriam?
Yeah, I do have other projects without Miriam. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And so also short films and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, we have been doing short films for the past 5 years, but now we're switching into features. So we're having another short film shooting in spring, and then we're going to shoot our first feature this autumn, which is actually the feature of my business partner, Annick Blanc, who's a director, producer, and screenwriter.
Uh-huh.
So I'm around an amazing woman.
Right. And plus, I mean, once you get the award, your value rises in the industry, right? You'll probably be able to make more features than
otherwise. The interesting thing is in Quebec, it's mostly working with public funding. So it's more in terms of we're getting known, we're getting recognition, and being able to tell the institution what we're doing is good cinema. Because the good thing there is like when we have to prove institution to get money, it's not proving the film will make money. It's proving the film will be good.
Right.
And that's where like I feel getting a nomination to the Oscars, having all this recognition help being like, yes, we're able to like be there for a good project and bring them to the next level.
Yeah. And the film schools you guys went to, was that in Canada?
Yeah.
Both of you, right?
Yeah, we went to separate film schools, but they were both in Montreal.
Yeah. I know Canada's got a pretty pretty rich film industry, right?
Yeah.
Especially in Toronto and stuff, right?
I would say especially in Montreal, Quebec.
Okay. Well, what do I know, right?
Yeah, no.
I know there's a Toronto festival and all that.
Yeah, so. TIFF is amazing. TIFF is honestly one of the best festivals, I think. But it's just like, well, Montreal industry, like, I'll just pitch in some names, but let's say Denis Villeneuve, Jean-Marc Vallée, Xavier Dolan, they're all Montreal people.
Means nothing to me, but okay. Never heard of him before, but okay.
And remember Miriam Juber's name.
Exactly.
And Maria Garcia Turgeon. No, but Montreal is very rich. I think what Maria mentioned is like the difference is when you have public funding and the focus is on quality and not financial return, it really allows filmmakers to experiment and really push the medium further. And I think that's why you find such a richness of cinema in Quebec.
Right.
Because we have that liberty. And also there, like, the auteur, the filmmaker is very valued. Like, our voice is valued. And they are looking for voices. I mean, like I said, I grew up in the U.S.
Right.
My French is not 100% fluent. I made a film in Arabic, yet I was able to get support from institutions in Canada.
Right.
And that's amazing. Like, yeah, it
really is.
You know, I wish the U.S. filmmakers had more opportunities like that.
Oh, really? They don't?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I wish there's a few like public funding, but the fact is there's so many filmmakers in the U.S.
That's true.
So like the very few funding resources don't cover the needs. So
I know we get too much of everything in America, you know?
It's true.
Yeah.
I know. And that's when you find yourself like creeping on LinkedIn for angel investors.
Miriam and Maria, thank you so much for joining us. Tell people how they can find you, the film again.
Yeah, so if you go on Vimeo, you can either go on Myriam's Juber page or you can go on Midi la Nuit's page and you will find Brotherhood, the film. It's also available on Short of the Week. So, I mean, it's out there. You can watch it.
Yeah. Do you have social media for the film too?
Yes, we have a Facebook page, so Brotherhood Short Film.
Instagram.
Instagram also, and a Twitter, so you can find us, and we're putting out there news about the film, where it's going, our journey here in Los Angeles. So.
Great. And do you have individual ones too? Do you want people to find you?
No, I think the Brotherhood is a great page. Okay. I'm not very present, so I think if you want to find out what's going on.
We have an amazing girl, like, Tam Dam Vu, who's really out there for social media, and she's really good with the page for Brotherhood. So
the
more news you'll get is on that page.
Right. So in other words, don't bother you guys. Go to the film.
We're just not really present on social media.
Yeah, don't stalk us on social media. We don't need that. All right. Well, the film is Brotherhood. Please support it. Nominated for an Academy Award, of course. When is it? In 2 weeks, the Academy Awards?
The ninth,
right?
Soon. I don't count the days. It's too stressful.
Right.
It's February 9th.
Well, we'll see. So we'll see. Hopefully, we'll see you there on the stage and everything. Just don't faint. You know, try to be professional about it.
Don't fall in your heels. I think.
Yeah. Oh my gosh! I know. I just feel like that would be such a shaky moment.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It's impossible for me not to fall.
Yeah.
Well, that's amazing. So thank you so much for joining us.
You.
Much success
thank
to you.
So
you guys are very inspiring, you know, and we wish you really all the best.
Aww,
you're still young. You still have your whole lives ahead of you. Maybe you'll be the next Martin Scorsese or something,
Who knows?
The female one.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Are we on tomorrow?
I don't know. You're asking me as... we probably won't.
Probably won't be.
Yeah, because tomorrow's a funeral.
That's true.
So everybody stick with us. We'll probably be here Friday. If not, then Monday. I'm going to be mourning for a week, but I'm still going to come here and stuff. So you'll see me with a beard for a whole month.
Are you going to do it?
Yeah, for a whole month. Yeah.
Oh, that's so
And it's
exciting.
Not trimmed either, so it looks awful. But
that's amazing. I can't wait to see that.
Yeah.
I just want to do a quick shout out. Tomorrow's my best friend's birthday. Happy birthday, Sean.
Oh, happy birthday, Sean.
Happy birthday.
Great shout out.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So stick with us, and we'll see you soon.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, only on LA Talk Radio.